For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Crozet will see its first self-driving shuttle this spring. More than 500,000 people in Virginia with outstanding court fines are about to get their driver's licenses back. Meanwhile, drivers along the Interstate 81 corridor are about to see higher gas taxes and new infrastructure improvements. We've got all the details, plus a view of all of this from a trucker's perspective. You could call it Transportation Thursday. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 4th. Crozet will see its first self-driving shuttle this spring. WVIR-TV reports that the shuttle developed by Perrone Robotics is called TONY. That stands for To Navigate You. TONY is in its final phase of testing with the shuttle driving on the test track and on the roads in Crozet that it will serve. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has issued safety guidelines that autonomous vehicle companies may comply with voluntarily, but no specific standards for performance or safety have yet been mandated by the NHTSA. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is asking law enforcement to investigate claims he sexually assaulted two women. Speaking to reporters on Wednesday, Fairfax repeated his claim that the allegations are untrue. Meanwhile, the possibility of a legislative hearing into those allegations remains in limbo. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
Lieutenant Governor Fairfax says he'll fully cooperate with any criminal investigation, and he's willing to testify under oath.
I look forward to clearing my good name. More importantly, I look forward to being able to be a husband and a father without having my loved ones read and hear false accusations about me.
CBS aired interviews this week with his two accusers. Meredith Watson says Fairfax raped her in college. Vanessa Tyson says he forced her to perform oral sex. Fairfax rebutted their stories, saying each encounter was consensual. He also released the full results of a polygraph test that his team says demonstrates his innocence. Republican Majority Leader Todd Gilbert says the GOP is reluctant to proceed without support from Democrats.
We just think that this is too important and too compelling to be left to being framed as some sort of partisan effort.
Two women accusing Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax say they'd like to testify publicly. Republicans say they're following the accusers' wishes, and Democrats are blocking that effort. Democrats say a legislative hearing would compromise any possible criminal investigation and merely be political circus. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Fairfax says his lawyers have contacted law enforcement in the two localities where the alleged assaults occurred and asked them to investigate. It is unclear if any investigation is already underway. More than 500,000 people in Virginia with outstanding court fines are about to get their driver's licenses back. That's thanks to a budget amendment from Democratic Governor Ralph Northam that was approved Wednesday by a Republican-led General Assembly. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Many people who get caught up in the court system find themselves in a downward spiral that concludes with their driver's license being suspended. They can't afford to pay all those court fines and fees, and then they find themselves illegally driving to work. That's more than 500,000 people in Virginia, mainly low-income and minority. Delegate Alfonso Lopez is a Democrat from Arlington who says that's unconscionable.
Our current policy is, in my opinion, the equivalent of some kind of modern-day debtor's prison. We should never be punishing people for being poor.
House Minority Leader Todd Gilbert says people who have not paid court fines should not have driver's licenses.
They've broken the law. They've chosen not to pay the penalties for breaking the law. And now they find themselves digging themselves deeper into a hole because they refuse to make responsible decisions about their lives that will allow them to get out of this hole.
Ultimately, lawmakers in the House and Senate agreed with the Democratic governor rather than the Republican House leader. That means those 500,000 people who can't afford to pay court fines, they're about to get their driver's licenses reinstated.
Drivers along the Interstate 81 corridor are about to see higher gas taxes and new infrastructure improvements. And Michael Pope has that story.
I have a whole 81 corridor plan. If you want me to roll it out, I can show it to you.
That's Delegate Chris Hurst, a Democrat who represents the New River Valley. He's more than happy to roll out a series of maps showing hundreds of unfunded acceleration lanes, deceleration lanes, truck climbing lanes, curb improvements.
When you have truck drivers that don't necessarily know the area very well, that are going at high rates of speed over serious grade changes, and then when they're going downgrade, they can't brake enough in time, and they rear-end a car, and maybe you're the one driving that car.
Lawmakers approved an amendment from the governor that will increase the gas tax along the I-81 corridor to fund those targeted infrastructure projects. They also approved an amendment from the governor increasing the diesel tax and truck fees statewide to improve infrastructure across Virginia. Republican Delegate Dave LaRocque voted against the governor's amendments.
This is a major tax increase, Bill. Let's just call it what it is.
This is an election year, so lawmakers had to balance concerns over raising taxes with a desire to improve roads. In the end, they chose higher taxes and better roads. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, earlier this year, trucking groups helped scuttle a proposal for truck tolls to pay for improvements to I-81. WMRA's Jason Barr reports on all this from a trucker's perspective.
I'm sitting behind the wheel of a tractor-trailer driving simulator, a training tool used by Jim Butler. He's the CDL program coordinator at Blue Ridge Community College. The simulation is incredibly real. The air brakes hiss, the hydraulics lift me up, and I'm on my way, guiding a truck down the road and trying my best not to crash. But there are some things that a simulator can't teach its students.
We're all juiced up. We're driving 60 miles an hour, and I want to get there very fast. And if I got to go 58, I can't go 60. And if you get in my way, it juices me up even more. Trucks are that times 10. They get all of that all the time. And that's hard to tell a driver how to cope with. I don't know how to cope with it sometimes.
And he says it's not just the job itself. It's being away from home.
Then you have a process of, I got to be out here for 2 weeks or 1 week. I'm gone. You know, and that's hard on an individual, man or woman. And you're living in a box and you're living in this lifestyle where you here tomorrow and somewhere else you're stuck in traffic or stuck in a snowstorm. Or I didn't make as much money last week. My phone's getting cut off. My insurance isn't paid. My wife's going to leave me. My husband's cheating on me. You know, whatever the multitude of stories that's going on that I've got to process in a truck every day. And my boss is hollering at me because I'm 30 minutes late. I'm exhausted. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, I've only been at this for 3 hours, and I'm already tired.
But even if you make a conscious effort to avoid it, you will still be affected by the daily traffic that courses up and down the interstate. The prices you pay, the products you expect to be delivered on time, are all dependent on how smoothly, or not smoothly, traffic on 81 flows. And that depends largely on the flow of trucks. Dale Bennett is the head of the Virginia Trucking Association.
According to numbers provided by VDOT, I-81 carries 11.7 million trucks a year, which works out to about 32,000 trucks per day along the entire 325 miles of the corridor. And then from an economic point of view, those trucks are hauling about $312 billion worth of goods every year. 88% of the manufactured freight in Virginia is transported by truck. So those consumer demands are going to naturally result in an increase in truck traffic and freight transportation to meet those demands. And then as the economy's gotten better, people have been out traveling more.
More trucks and more cars. Bennett says that trucking companies in other heavily populated areas of the state, think Hampton Roads or Northern Virginia, often make schedules around commuter traffic in order to become more efficient.
Believe you me, in congested areas of the state and the country, trucking companies try to do what they can to schedule their trucks not to be there during normal rush hours.
But Interstate 81, which is already overcrowded, can bring trucking to a halt, quite literally, at any time. It's impossible to plan around. In fact, in a report released by VDOT in 2018, the department estimates that there are more than 2,000 accidents per year on Interstate 81, with around 30 crashes a year taking more than 6 hours to clear away. That's why legislators are under increasing pressure to improve the traffic flow on 81. Senator Mark Obenshain of Harrisonburg and Delegate Steve Landis of Augusta County introduced bills in this year's General Assembly session providing for tolls on Interstate 81, a proposal that drew swift opposition from trucking groups. The Virginia Trucking Association's Dale Bennett explains that the proposal meant turning an existing interstate into a toll road, which would have been an extraordinary move.
We, along with a number of other organizations, and especially our customers, have concerns about tolling existing interstate highways. Most toll roads that people drive on in this country were originally built as toll roads and then later incorporated into the system.
In an effort to find solutions and the money to fund them, the General Assembly instead put together the Interstate 81 Committee and created the Interstate 81 Corridor Improvement Fund. It's an election year in Virginia, and since Landis announced his retirement, the door is open wider for even more discussion about Interstate 81 as a new field of candidates vie for the seat. In announcing his bid for Landis' seat as a Republican, Local business owner Chris Runyon said that, quote, "We need to have that conversation, and that conversation needs to be comprehensive." Interestingly, among current politicians in the Valley, very few of them directly addressed the issues on Interstate 81 on the websites. However, in January, Delegates Dickie Bell and Ben Klein, along with Landis, sent a letter to their U.S. senators and representatives, including Mark Warner and Bob Goodlatte, whose seat Klein had won in November, asking for assistance in improving Interstate 81. The Interstate 81 committee must make recommendations by December 15th. Until then, the congestion and accidents will likely just get worse. For WMRA News, I'm Jason Barr.
You can learn more about that story through some of the links we've provided at WMRA.org. And that's the first report by Jason Barr for WMRA. Well done, Jason. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Thursday.